Praise the Lord.
I'd just like to make an announcement. And after I wrote them down, I realized too many things to remember. So probably tomorrow we'll type a list and let you know, give you a copy of this list to know, to have a schedule. November 25th, which is this coming Saturday, it's communion prayer meeting. November 26th, which is Sunday, 10 a.m. service, and 3:30 p.m. communion. November 27th, a regular prayer meeting, which is Monday. Remember this now, November 29th, which is next Wednesday, not this coming, but the following Wednesday, will be no service because we're planning to have a four-day service with Brother Woosley. Now, that will be November the 30th, Friday, service 7 p.m., December the 1st, which is Saturday, 7 p.m., December the 2nd, which is Sunday, 10 a.m., and December the 2nd, which is Sunday, 3:30 p.m. We'll write all this down for you to have a little piece of paper to remember. And please, don't hesitate to bring unsaved loved ones to find the Lord. That's what we're here for. You know that? Not to discuss things that we like or we don't like. We like to just reach to see if somebody can find the Lord. That's what we care about. And pray so the Lord will bring the right people in for salvation. I got to get right on the subject, and there's something that sometimes you hear about Israel. They have done this, they have done that, and they killed their prime minister, they did this, they did that. But we know in Bible prophecy, when we see Israel, it's a mark. It's not just Israel going to the homeland, clap your hands and praise the Lord, everything is ready. They're supposed to alert us and say, are we ready to be there? A statement that Brother Branham made some time ago in one of the tapes, he said this, it will not be a surprise to them that they were drunks and so on. It will be you that you thought you were right and you missed it. You know. And when I was reading again Romans and studying that verse in Romans, that's not my text, but that's an introduction. Romans 11:21, in the King James says, for if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. That word take heed doesn't even appear there at all. The real translation is this. For if God spare not the natural branches, which is Israel, he also would spare thee not. So we'll know that we're moving in a time now in history that Israel is the guidepost of what happened to Israel. We have to watch so doesn't happen the same thing to us. And that's why I brought from Isaiah that thou wait upon the Lord, to know how to wait. We're in a rush society. Everything is moving. And sometimes we transfer that nervousness to religion and to church. And then we say, let's do this. Without even praying, we don't even consult God anymore for anything. If we feel it's right, my own conscience, go ahead and do it. You know, a man said one time something to me, said, Brother David, it's the difference between looking for the chosen children of God and spraying Bibles all over, you know, from the sky. Which is fine, nothing against that, but we're supposed to have thus saith the Lord right now, or we are in trouble. The bottom line is you have to watch ourselves what we do. Now, this led me to realize, going back, you see Israel with Korah, with Balaam, and all these things that happened. And I never preach on Balaam. I might have just scanned once, something like that, because Balaam, to me, is one of the most painful subjects to preach. Balaam and Jude, the book of Jude, is very painful. I said I had about close to 800 pages of materials that I have accumulated about Balaam. The more you start looking about Balaam, the more you realize, you see the day, and you become so critical. So I don't want to become critical. On the other side, you cannot just bury it and say, forget it, it's nothing to it. You've got to do something about it. And when I start looking about Israel, there's a psalm that is associated with it. And probably I believe we should look at it and looking at the scripture, Psalm 106, the book of Psalms 106. And if you look at this psalm there, we don't know who the author is. We know that they sang the song at the synagogues, but we don't know who the author is. The author is unknown. And if you take that book, that psalm there that you see, 106, belongs to the same class or the same group as Psalm 78 and Psalm 105. These two other psalms are fitting together. And in that, we found out that it's referring about the ancient history of the Hebrew people, what they have done, what they went through. And I would like to say, if the scripture teaches us, they are our example, we better look at it. You know, the big questions that can be asked, are we now in the wilderness, spiritual wilderness, like they were crossing the physical wilderness? Are we in that time? Seems to me, just like the Spirit of the Lord doesn't move anymore among the people. They don't know what repentance is. They have substituted, accept, and do this and do that. But true repentance hasn't taken place. And we try to create a revival, and I don't believe a revival would develop as a group, would be individuals. That's why I believe that I have to take care of my life, and you have to take care of your life in many ways. What we study, what we pray, what we fast, God deals with us, and we are not going to be spreading around everything that God gives you. It's not that's wrong. No, not at all. But the people are not receiving it. It comes from one ear, comes to the other out. And you keep on going, the routine of the church, Sunday service, Wednesday service, whatever it is. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, this is going to speak, and so on. But I'm looking and I'm interested to the individual experience with the Lord. When you start looking at Psalm 105, it's referred to the history and the of Israel and the mercy of God upon Israel. And I read it quite a few times, and what I would like to do, I like probably to break it into three portions and take the first portion today. That portion is the introduction. There are some things there in that book of Psalm, that Psalm 106, that really will tear you to pieces. But we'll take one thing at a time. And that these three portions, number one, a brief introduction about the duty of praising God. You know, there's a duty that is supposed to praise God. And you say, what does it mean? We don't praise God because really, we are so selfish and we have nothing to praise Him. We are blinded. We become blinded with the world, the things of the world, and we just bypass it. Just the idea you are able to walk, to have enough judgment to be here, to say, Lord, help me. We're supposed to sit and say, thank you, Lord, for helping me. But we take it as a routine. The second part, we can see that from verse 1 to 5. The second part, we know the history of the nation, the confession of their sins, and all the different things that are worked through in the history. And you might break it down from 6 to 12 in Egypt, 13 to 33 in the desert, 31 to 43 in the land of Canaan. Things that they did. If you watch the second part, and probably we are guilty on many of the things that Israel has done, and you go to what God has done for them, especially at the 11th verse, you know that the waters cover, you know, the enemies. The 12th verse, he says here, then believe they the works. Remember, the works. The people of Israel knew the acts of God. Moses knew the ways of God. What's the greatest pressure today? It's to know the ways of God and walk in it. Everybody wants to see a miracle. And I like that. I appreciate that. But if you don't know the ways of God, this is history and not life for you. Listen what happened to them. They knew, they saw the miracles. But by the 13th verse, he says, and soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Are waiting now for the counsel of God. Or just running wild here and there in Egypt, and who is the man of the hour, and so on. The man of the hour, I tell you what it is, the Holy Ghost and a relation between you and the Lord. That's what's the man of the hour. And you can't blame anybody. Or you can't blame the church, you can't blame the pastor, you can't blame the deacon, because the promise was not given through them. It's true, they should instruct and go on with the words between you and the Lord, if any man. And the last part is the prayer that we see that is founded in the fact that God has often helped Israel. And that's verses 43 to 48. And what I like to do, I like to take, if I can, the first part in it and start examining a couple, three verses there to see what God has to say. It's very hard sometimes to go to the manuscripts and look what it says and frightens you. You're in the state of panic. And you say, now, what are we going to say? We're going to say this and this and this and that. And then you generate another folder to start building up the study. And I have folders that probably when I go out of town to do a little research, you know, I take one folder at a time. I make a skeleton. And then you get the materials for that skeleton. That's what you do. But God now, praise ye the Lord. He starts in Psalm 106. He asks you to praise the Lord. I said to myself, now, here I'm going to a place this morning or tomorrow or after tomorrow. And the scripture tells me to praise the Lord. What is to praise the Lord? We have been used to say, praise the Lord. Everybody raise your hand and says, praise the Lord. Louder, praise the Lord. And everybody feels good and shakes somebody's hand next to you and go through their routine and all these things. What is praise the Lord anyway? I have to stop and look at it. And praise the Lord, I look at it and I find out from the original Hebrew and so on, is the word exomologo, who means to confess in full, to make full acknowledgement in the form of praise. It's not a lip service. It's not something that we say, praise the Lord, it's done. Probably it's a fake. We mock ourselves. It's an inward word that reacts outwardly. It's not because somebody says, now, sing the same song 10 times and you feel better. No. It's an inward work. You know, it's an acknowledgement from inside what God has done. Is it possible that so much the world, the routines of the world, got a hold of us and we don't see the little things? My sister asked me, she says, how's Theo doing, my brother? I said, he's doing good. I said, he got something that I need to get more to it. He's able to stop and see a flower. You know, we're so much in a hurry, we just walk, step on it. You know, we can't see God nowhere anymore. We can't see God in the trees. We can't see God in the nature. We cannot see God in anything. The only thing is you got a good weather Saturday and Sunday. You know, that's all we know. So if we lose that inside experience to be able to see God in everything, we praise Him by the lip and not the heart. When we sing a song, it's supposed to mean something to us. We sing a song about the blood. Really, if we really knew what the blood is, we'd panic. To know that provided redemption and eternal life for you and I. So this kind of experience, insight. Now, David, I mean, in the book of Psalms, he tell us here that you've got to praise the Lord in what to do really. To confess in full. It's a confession. A confession is not a lip service. It's something that happens in you. And you look inside of you and he says to make a full acknowledgement in the form of praise. So, when we sing a song, what do we really do? We look inside and we see amazing grace and you look at yourself, what you used to be, what you are, and what you want to be. And in one side, you praise God for what He has done. In the other side, you say, Lord, help me to be better. That is praise. It's too bad that we take everything and put it right on the flesh. The more you scream sometimes, the people think the more spirit you got. It's not true. It's the heart supposed to be talking. probably you and I have gone to experience where the Spirit of the Lord move, and all of a sudden you see a weeping and crying. Something happens. And you say, what is it? But we don't want to isolate ourselves. To say, like we're going to see in a minute, we don't want to say that, just a minute, what really destroys what is in me to say, praise God? Am I that busy that the only thing I do, I go through a chapter a day for my devotion and I read this and I'm busy, 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 thinking I'm serving God? This doesn't count. You see, God in the day of judgment is not going to tell you how much work you did for Him. This has nothing to do. You know, you can work yourself to death for God. It doesn't mean that you fulfill His will at one point. You got to stop and say what God wants me to do, number one. And here God tells us in His Word to be able to praise Him. You stop backwards, go backwards, say, now, I praise Him and I feel good when Brother Gordon leads the songs. And that's true, all of us feel good. But is that done from the heart? Or what is in the heart that hinders it? Let me go in it and see. You know, the things of the world creeping in. Politics creeping in. Gossip creeps in. All this stuff. Is it good sometimes to just stay in your own circle and praise God and fellowship without gossiping? It destroys us. And what we try to do, we try to keep busy, yet to escape. We are escaping from our own sins by serving God. And we accomplish nothing by deteriorating ourselves. We hear sometimes, I want to bring this man of God to just stir up the people. It's good to stir up the people. But the people must be stirred up. Not like Israel that I read you a verse and soon forgot his works. You know, the speaker leaves, the revival is over that we have, and we forget about it. In a week, like nothing happens. Nothing stays with us. Why? Because it's time for us to say, I'm going to church today, and I'm going to praise God for what He has done for me. Today I look outside, and here's little Cordell and Deandra was running. Let's look at it. How many little kids would like to be able to walk, and they're not able to walk because of sickness, disease or something, right? Stop for a minute and say, look at my kids. They can walk. Praise the Lord for it. He has done it. He kept them. He guided them. See God in everything. But so often we look in our lives and we take things for granted. What's for me? What's for me? Forget about everybody else. And that's not how you praise God. So God now starts demanding to praise Him, and He starts with the word exomologo. Now, I don't want to get into this, but I would like to give you a couple of three statements to see Christ in the Old Testament. Why to praise the Lord? I look at that word, means to praise the Lord, and it's true, praise the Lord, Oti Christos, that He is the Christ. He's the anointed. King James doesn't have that. Think of it. In the Old Testament, foreseeing the prophecy of Jesus, He says that He is the anointed. He is the Christos. Not them. He, one God. He is the Christos. He is the anointed. One day that anointed is going to come down for my redemption and yours. If David, in the book of Psalms, was asking to do that, what do you think we should do that we've already seen the prophecy being fulfilled? But we look and, oh, He died on the cross. And praise the Lord. We'll meet you Easter time and sing praise the Lord. He's risen, throw some flowers and go home. But that's not it. He says, inside in you. Listen, that book of Psalms says, inside of you to confess Him in a form of praise. Why? Because He's the anointed. One day, with other words, they say this in that book of Psalms. One day that anointed is going to come down, and I don't need any more sacrifice of goats and sheep. he'll die for me. He's the anointed. He's the one who's going to die for me. He's the one to fulfill everything. Everything is around him. And Christ should be exalted above all things. But we spread our opinions so much over. The Italians have an expression in New York. It says, quattro greco cinque capitano. You know, four Greeks, five captains. They say, you know, sometimes board meetings can destroy the people. You know that? These kind of things. Do the job, what God called you. And keep on going. You know, sometimes you have a good idea. I know this from the business world. You have a good idea, a good proposal to move on. You give it to a committee. They'll do an excellent job to destroy it. An excellent job. Why this, why that, why this, why that. Nobody's doing anything, but everybody's ready to criticize it. I have no business with that. I got to do the work of the Lord, right? That's what God wants you to do. That's what you're supposed to do. If God calls you to pray, you pray. Now, nobody's going to come around and tell you, are you sure you pray 30 minutes or 45? How do you do that? How don't you do that? And by the time they get through, they will analyze you so much that they confuse you to death. So there's things that you have to keep to yourself and keep on going. You don't say everything you know. That's not ordained from God. Listen to what Brother Branham said one time about the seals. He says, if you speak and Satan will hear a secret of God, then he'll know it before he doesn't know it. The devil cannot enter your heart and know what God gives you sometimes. And you have to keep silence. So now this praising of God, that he is the anointed. He's the anointed. Or that his mercy is forever. So you say, Brother David, do you believe that the door is open? I want to believe that the door is open. So what that means, Brother David, the mercy has not been exhausted. The mercy of God is there. He's there to heal the sick, to touch you, to touch me. I'm trying to go through now a time that I isolate myself from all this and this and this and that to get center myself to see where do I stand with God. You know, these old philosophers have some good ideas. When they proclaim the doctrine of catharsis means cleansing. It says, separate yourself for a little bit. Your thoughts from things. To see, what are you doing? Where are you going? You know, you can get wrapped with being busy with yourself and you don't have any objectives. You don't even know what you're doing. And so often, we're supposed to stop and say, let me talk to God to see what I'm supposed to do. We grab something, we do it. The other thing fails. The other thing doesn't fail. Well, you know what happens? We are so confused. We are grasping for things to do. Why? Because we want to escape. Because we are not willing to acknowledge that his mercy endureth forever. We want to take his mercy the way we want it instead of what he has to say. So now in this book of Psalms now, he gives first the praises, then he says what they have done and what God has done because of that. So if we look, he says, praise God now. Listen, he says, do it from inside, you Israelites. You make a mess. At the Red Sea, you did that. You beat the tambourine. You got a big revival. And now the only thing you know, everything is dying up. Why it's dying up? Because we cause it, me and you. And we have to go back to find out what caused it. You know, the devil says, do this, do that. I'm doing nothing. I'm just going to wait to see what God wants me to do. Because if I don't do that, I'll pay a price. What's the price? Be confused. I just mentioned that before. That sounds hypocritical. But I like when I go over to West Jefferson there in North Carolina, in the Boone area, to go in the sticks there, to see sometimes the old boys sitting with the bead holes, you know, sitting there right in the front. When I see them stopping at the coffee shop, I stop, you know. I say, sir, do you know what is this? Yay here, and yay there, and yay there. You don't even know what they're talking about. That's what sometimes we do to ourselves. got too many yeas here and yeas there. But God's precise. He says, do this. Don't do that. What he says to do this? Wait upon the Lord. Now, looking at that, he says, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. Now listen to this. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? I'd like for you, for a minute, to take you at the time of the Red Sea. Here we're sitting, we're Israelites, already to be destroyed, okay? We have no knowledge what God is going to do. God speaks to Moses, and he said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know what he's saying? Keep busy to see the salvation of the Lord. You are not doing that like that. Stand still for God to speak to you. So we are there, and all of a sudden, the water separates. And it's dry land. And I get up and says, Gordon, gets going. Brian, let's go. Keep on moving now. Praise God. Let's keep on running, you know, because Egyptians are behind us, the chariots and everything else. So when we cross this, we better run now because they're behind us. And God closed the water, wipes all of them out. The scripture says none of them survive in that chapter later on. Let me ask you something. If you see that dry land separating the water, and then you sit at the shore, and you see that water comes back, and you see all these chariots of men are dying on the top by the thousands, and horses and chariots are floating and screaming, and everything, what would you do? How you can utter, how you can say, how you will be able to see the mighty acts of God, who that shows you, who can utter them? Who can say? You know what you can say there? No wonder they had a big revival there. You just sit there and say, oh, God, amazing grace. What about when God is dealing with me and with you? And we feel so low. And all of a sudden God comes and gives us the scriptures. Give us something and lift us up. What do? You sit there and cry. There's nothing to say. Who can utter your joy, your salvation, the renewal of that salvation, like we talk about salvation later on in that chapter? Who can utter it? The only thing you see, you realize that you cannot express what God is doing. You're just Mr. Peanut and Mrs. Peanut, and you can't express nothing. You sit there, you just weep and cry. Who can utter it? But God now speaks and says this, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doth righteousness at all times. A-L-L times. I was looking at that. It says, what does it mean to keep judgment? Well, the first thing you see, you try to keep judgment. What is judgment? And I look at this, the word crisis. It says, what does it mean? I better go and define it. And judgment means this. Crisis means separation. And you know when you go to court, the judge separates what's this and what's that. He does separation there from truth and the lie, trying to. He says, means separation, putting apart. He says, picking out, deciding or judging. He says, blessed are they that keep their separation. We're not all one. With everybody else, denomination and everything, throw them together. What separates you, Brother David? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The greatest thing that God has given us, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why, Brother David? Because that's the witness that you have that salvation in you. You're floating around, just, verse 1, I believe in Jesus, he smokes his cigars and goes on. The next guy smokes his cigarettes, the next guy drinks. And just praise the Lord. I believe in Jesus, then I'm saved. Is that what you say? But unless you really receive the Holy Ghost, there's no evidence you have it. Because that Spirit will witness that you have been with Jesus at the cross. And that Spirit rose up again of Jesus, comes back and dwells in you. It is not friends that I accept. And you don't get salvation without repentance. And repentance is not just a judicial act. You don't get it because you want to get it. God has to give it to you. So when God is dealing with you, respond to it. And you say, Lord, I want to keep judgment. That's separation between me and the world. That separation. You know, we just, it seems to me, we're so much. I like to play that tape, you know, and by the way, let me make a parenthesis here. If the Lord ever leads you to say to Brother Brian, let's play this tape. Give me what you want to play. And all of us, you know, contribute to that. But there's a tape that Brother Brian is speaking about. And he speaks about the time that was so rushed. And the title is Letting of the Pressure. And he discussed at the hospital. He went to the hospital, asked for something. Leave me alone. The next one, this, that. That's what we live right now. Nobody has time anymore to say, Lord, what I'm supposed to do. Somebody says, let's do that. Let's do it. Sounds good. Let's do that. Let's do it. No, it's not. It's time that you have to realize that the penalty that Israel has paid is because they didn't wait. Is that true? Read the same chapter, the 13th verse. And soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Are we waiting for the counsel of God? What are we doing? We're supposed to be led by the Spirit. And this leading of the Spirit sometimes, we are led by ourselves, and we have made the life of religion, and we go on with it. And that's the form that the Lutheran Church failed. Wesley and all the time, they soon forgot about it. I mean, what do you think if John Wesley appears today? It looks at the Methodist Church, ordaining gays for preachers. What do you think he's going to do? I believe the man will lose his mind, commit suicide, and die. He couldn't handle it. But what are we doing? Are we willing to wait? And here he says, there's the separation there. I got to follow that separation. Somewhere is a secret, remember, somewhere is a secret walk between you and the Lord that no man can interpret it. You tell your experience to somebody, they don't even know what you're talking about. What do you do then? You destroy it. Somewhere God deals with you. Somewhere you have met God. Somewhere in the corner that you talk to him and you found yourself being restored by God. Somewhere that God talked to you. And you know what? It's not the same with you and with me. Because there are different people, different circumstances. God deals different with each one of us. You start trying to explain it and get counsel for that. Remember, you don't even know where you're going next. You let the people take over, then you have no judgment at all. That secret walk that we're talking about is the walk that inwardly you have experienced God and you give him praises outwardly. And let's learn to praise God. Don't stop praising God, but start examining yourself. Here I'm praising, I'm singing. Is my heart doing it or my lips is doing it or what is it? How can I do it, Brother David? The first thing you follow your separation. You know? You say, my separation, my friends, are you? What about you? Let's bring you right to the center, me and you. We come to church with all kinds of ideas, all kinds of struggles and fights with the family before we could walk in the doors. We haven't separated ourselves from strife. And who come in without asking forgiveness from God, who walk in, here I am, a warm body. Praise the Lord, yes. Let's sing 242, 242. Praise God. This thing goes. But here, it's nothing. And then we say, we need a revival. And you say, who do blame? The scripture says you. Because an individual walk with God. You do your religion, I do mine. And let's be life and not just formality. So now he speaks about separation. He takes right from the beginning what is to praise the Lord. Then continues the Psalms. He tells you, give thanks. His mercy endureth forever. He continues on. Who can utter his works? Would you like to be in a state to have a full revelation of how God saved you and where you would have been? To what do you think you do? I don't think you can handle it. I don't think I can handle it. Just to know that he saved you, to be able to escape hell, to be with him, his love forever. Just that idea, you know, will just, when they ask to sing that song, praise God, hallelujah. That's it, that's me. Are we letting the inside getting cold and we substitute with a clapping of hands and the lips? I'm not critical. I'm just telling the scriptures. Me first and you. Each one of us have to start examining ourselves to say, oh, I don't feel this. I know you walk by faith, but is it really you don't feel like? Is it God in you that really is working? Or it's you? You know, we don't think about God anymore. So here he says, remember this, because they have kept judgment. They have kept a separation. How many times Brother Brown speaks and he says the world wants mixtures to mix with somebody, but God wants separators. Listen to the man of faith, Abraham. Abraham says, separate yourself. Come out from amongst them. He separated himself. They separated from his own family. Separated from his own brother. What happened? Because God is going to speak to him. Separate himself from Ishmael. He says, take thy son, thy only begotten son Isaac, and then come and follow me. But sometimes we let even blood affecting us. We put blood before God. This is my brother. This is my sister. This is my father. This is my mother. So what? Unless you are willing to forsake father and mother for his sake, forget it. You are not even a disciple of his. This is hard gospel. This is not an easy gospel to walk. Who drains who? So now, he's continuing. He says, and he that doth righteousness. Now, in Psalm 15, if you go with me, in the 15th chapter of Psalm, there's a key verse there in the 15th chapter that probably you might like to look at it for a minute and say, what does it say? For the 15th chapter of the book of Psalms, speaks and says, Lord, he says, who shall abide in the tabernacle? Who shall dwell in the holy hill? Remember, dwell, not visit. You study these two words, the difference between dwelling and visit, and you find lots of things. Listen to this. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. This is the ones that are going to walk. This is the ones that are going to be like David here on the Psalm 106 is talking to us about. And we look what he's saying to us and say, now, Lord, I want to be one of them. And he said this. He says, for he that doth righteousness at all times. You know, we do righteousness sometimes the day before communion. We do righteousness sometimes the day before that. Before communion starts something, we sit there and shake ourselves outside. Lord, forgive me. I know you can forgive a man. Praise the Lord. But just wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's what you say. But in order for God to do it, needs repentance and cleanliness. You cannot just utter your mouth and say, Lord, forgive me. It's true. But has repentance takes place? Or you're just yucking around? No wonder we see the coolness, you know. This morning I was talking, you know, to some people, and they said, has the Spirit of God been withdrawn from the earth? I says, I don't know. It sure looks like it, But he said to me, "You'll never leave me nor forsake me. He'll be with me." That's what I know. That's what I have to go by. So now he's preparing about all these praises. And then we see in the next service, what God, or the following services, plural tense, what God has done. He says, "Remember the Lord." He says, with a favor, that thou bearest, he says, unto thy people, "O visit me with thy salvation." I'm stopping right here for a minute. You know, it's not your salvation, friends. It's his salvation. He provided. He died. He called you. He has done it all. The scripture speaks about forgetting our first love. Now you look at the verses, "Visit me with thy salvation." Probably you heard through the scriptures about, you know, renew the joy of thy salvation. Renew it. Because when something happens about what God has done for you, when you experience constantly the salvation of the Lord in your soul. You say, "Brother David, I got saved 20 years ago." The scripture says to die daily. It's a progressive work, that salvation. The cleansing is a progressive work. Read the first epistle of John, will tell you that. Why that salvation? Because right away, your vision changes. Everything changes. Then you know what happens? "That I may see the good in thy chosen." So gossip disappears. Everything disappears. "He did that, she did that. I want to see the good about it." Well, have they done many things bad? Yes, but myself, I want to see the good about it. I want to see what God has done in their lives. I want to see how they get saved. You know, isn't it beautiful? You come to church and say, "Here, God touch Craig, Valida, and Gordon, and everybody else." And you look at it, just praise God, hallelujah. Instead of that, do you know what Gordon did? Do you know what Brother David did? Do you know what this did? You know what that? That's you have no experience of your own salvation that you're talking about. He asked to renew that salvation. What's that salvation? Thy salvation. Get yourself out of the way. Clean yourself up and say, "Lord, it's you, it's you, it's you, Lord. That's all." And then you keep on walking with him. You say, "Renew that, Lord." So what happened? You experience how good he is. He saved me. I feel his presence. He filled me with his spirit. He has done so much. And you dwell in it. And you know, you try to pray like that. You try to think about him. And you know, all the trash disappears. Somebody called you and said, "You know something about that?" "Listen, brother, just leave me alone, will you?" Bang, hang the phone. I have no time for that stuff. I have time to see thy salvation in me so I can see the good in the brothers. This is the formula of dissolving gossip. And this is the criteria to find out who has the salvation alive and who not. Scripture is scripture. Let's look at them. Let's look at them. And when I get to Israel, you find out later on what they have done. The second part, when they started from the sixth verse down, you find out constantly God dealt with them. He says, "Do this, do this, do that." What do we do? First of all, we start with the praise. Examine, make sure that's inward. And, you know, we express it. You know, this is not, "I will do it or not." If you're a Christian, it's mandatory. If you can't do it, you examine yourself. It's the evidence of Christianity. It's not, "I'll do it" or "I'm not going to do it." It's the evidence of Christianity. And probably I'll put it flat. Might don't sound the most civilized. Here's Gordon, go up there. Poor guy. He's going to take all the dirt of all the spirits to make them sing. I imagine. I just don't want to look behind sometimes. Because he leads for a song, somebody goes, "Oh." The next one. What is it? What is it? Is that the evidence of your salvation or my salvation? Is that what it is? I doubt it. It's very important to start looking at the Word of God, some of these things. So the next step that you do, you say, now, I don't have it. Seems to me that I sing and then I feel better. That's good. But is your soul singing or you singing? Then you start examining yourself and you fall. Blessed are they that keep judgment. Do you follow the judgment of separation? Then you start examining your heart. Listen, it's progressively, step by step, like climbing a ladder. Then you go continuing. He says, do I do righteousness? Oh, yes, I do this, I do that. All times. What's the times that I don't? That's the times I'm suffering. The sweetest thing to drink is poison. It's deadly. You continue there, and he says, now, he found himself, the psalmist, in that kind of a state. And he can't help himself. And probably me and you cannot help ourselves. But what did he do? In the fourth verse, he says, remember me, O Lord, with thy favor. Remember me. Go to your knees. Find yourself alone. Sit in your car somewhere. He says, remember me, O Lord. That's why the thief cried, Lord, remember me. And God is going to reward it. Why? Because he promised it. And what did you ask? He says, that salvation, you make me in me bubbly. You make me feel good to sing and praise the Lord for what he has done and all these things that he has done. Look what I would have been. How many of us would have been drug addicts, tell me? How many of us? How many of us would have been in a mess, worse mess? How many of us would have been in prison? How many of us would have done this? How many of us that? Because we don't know, we don't even praise God. But God says, stop for a minute, and I'll tell you what you do. Ask me to remember you, and I remember you. And the next thing, I want you, Lord, to do something for me. What is it? Visit me, he says, with thy salvation. What does Brother Dave say? I am backslid. I have no cover up. Visit me with thy salvation. I cool off before God. I want to get a warm up. It's very important, right? Now we're preparing to get to Israel. That's your model and my model. 1 Corinthians says, they are your examples. And Romans 11 says, what happened then is going to happen to you. I don't want it to happen to me, and you don't want it to happen to you. Let's see what instructs us, what tells us not to do. And then he continues, that I may see the good in thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Look where you are. Look where you're going. You know? Inheritance. Part of it, whatever happens, you know, I'm going to heaven, you know. People always say, I'll take this. The worst state to see is a couple where they go through the tension of divorce. I'll take this, I'll take that. And I always felt, in all my life, the winner is when it takes nothing. The rest of it, when you have them there, you're going to pay for it, each one of them. In the long run, you're going to suffer. In the long run. Because why? That I can take you back to the Old Testament and show you. There was ungodly stuff that you kept, and you're going to pay for it. You know? Oh, I'll take this. You can't have this. You wait till you pay for it. Now, God speaks to us and says, now, that's what I want. Now, Psalm 106, if you go to the sermon, volume 61, number 51, which is misunderstood in questions. And if you go down, start reading from, refers to that verse, especially on paragraph 157, down to about three pages, refers to it. And goes to, of course, to the next portion of the eighth verse, that says, nevertheless, he says he saved them. But what happened? Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. And you stop and you're wondering. They understood not the wonders in Egypt. Do I understand what God is doing now? Oh, yes, I know this and that. Remember this. If your heart doesn't walk with God, you understand nothing. You think you do. It's a routine. It's a talk, but it's not life. And he says down in Egypt, he says, they remember not, he says, the multitudes of thy mercies. How many of us today we can say we remember the multitudes of the mercies of God? If God will restore to you this minute the salvation, what means to you, you'll be crying, weeping, screaming what he has done for you. But let's don't forget, like he says, they forgot. Soon they forgot. No, it doesn't take too much time. You know, we get back to the routine. We say, now, praise God, we do this, we're in the message and so on. No, that's not how it goes. Where is the life? Where is the Holy Ghost? That's the two criteria. If the Holy Ghost is not there, there's no life. Remember that. It's letter. We can talk about who is a greater preacher, I'm sorry to name this, one of the greatest preachers, Stanley, be in touch, the Baptist. You cannot outdo him. These kind of people are great men. But where is the Holy Ghost? That my question is. That searches down. It's not the choir that sings, but it's the heart that sings. It's the heart that sings. I found that, you know, where in Mrs. and Mr., who, not who's who, but Mrs. Nothing, Mr. Nothing, they're the ones that got it. Not the big thing, the big thing there. No, it's not. It's those that they walk very, very close to the Lord with a fear and trembling. They don't tell you much, but if you say two, three words, it just destroys you. They know where they're standing, these people. And that's what I'm looking for. Because the rest of it is just a routine. I had enough of that. Let's do this, let's do this. Which is fine. Was it a good meeting? Oh, yeah, there's so many people, so many of this. So what? Tell me. God counts souls, we count bodies. That's what counts too. The question is, who are the chosen? Who are in life now with the experience of that salvation that we're talking about? And I believe sooner or later we're going to find out that it's so hard anymore to press through. So hard. No, you pray. You seek the Lord. You say, Lord, please tell me, where is that judgment that separates? Do I live in that kind of a state that the Word of God judges me and separates me constantly? Do I do righteousness at all times? What am I doing anyway? You look at your life, I look at mine. And look, just this week, where your mind has been, where my mind has been. What you have done, what I have done. And let's move forward. Ask for that salvation. Lord, give it to me. And when I see that, there's no problem at all. Have you seen people, you shake their hands. How are you, sister? Praise the Lord, everything is good. You hear about that? Well, God bless them. Well, praise the Lord. See, as her own world, she keeps on going with God. The rest of it, brush them off. You know, who does what? Who doesn't do that? That's how you survive, you know. Well, to take the second part, I don't think we can do is two or three services. We might have to dwell there for a while because you got to see exactly what happened. Everything's in this song outlined, you know. It talks about Korah. It talks about what they have done in the Red Sea. Big revival. They see the acts of God, the ways of God, nothing. If we see somebody now today being healed, raised from the dead, you know what's going to happen? We'll panic. Clap our hands. Praise God, the Lord is here, so on. By the salvation of the soul, nobody praise God anymore. The acts of God, give them to me. I want to be a good charismatic. But the salvation of the soul, we're so far off from it. Why? Because the sense world controls sometimes everything. I've been listening to a tape, and probably might be a good thing to consider played here. Faith, the sixth sense. There a statement is made. When faith is real, controls the sense world. When faith is not real, evil spirits control the sense world. It's a good judgment there, right? Good criteria. Praise the Lord for His word. Amen? It's everything right in this book. Isn't it wonderful to know that everything is in this book? You know, when I went over to a little motel there to stay, it was a new motel, it was small. And I spent a little time in prayer with our brother. It made me feel good. You know what? The Lord works miraculously. All right? When I got my room, I said, give me the most quiet room. I know I'm going to have a prayer meeting with a brother, and I was looking forward, so I had to prepare for that, right? Give me the most quiet room. Even extreme case, if it's next door to a Coke machine, I don't want it, but I'll take it if it's quiet. That's all. When I got in the room, I saw, you know, you don't see that anymore in Phoenix or L.A. or Detroit. A Bible was open in the book of Psalms on the table. I said, isn't it nice? That's probably somebody forgot it open. So when we came back, I tried to work my key. I wasn't able to open the door. I tried for 5 minutes. 15 degrees outside, so on. As there was no way to break the door. It was a safe kind of a lock, big lock. Try. Nothing works. Brother Steve says, let me try, brother. So he tried once, opened the door. I said, God bless you. Then I said, try it again. I'm going to stay inside so I can open the door. So he tried again. Wouldn't open the door. So I called the office. Zero, dang, bang. I said, listen, we cannot unlock. Oh, I locked my door once, and I cannot get out because my stuff are going to be locked in, and tomorrow morning I have to leave at 4:30. I said, what do you want me to do? She says, oh, probably there's a mistake. So the lady came over from the office. Listen how God works. Try. I was sitting inside. I wouldn't trust that door to close for me outside anyway. I got to have my stuff, you know. So she couldn't open. So bang, 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 knocks the door. I open the door. She says, what happened? She says, it won't open. Something is wrong with the lock. I says, I tell you what. Next door and the following door, there's nobody there. Put me next door so I can have privacy. She says, okay, we'll move you. So I put some stuff there to the door to make open. I go next door. Here's the Bible again in the book of Psalms. I said, that was not an accident. This little teeny town, there's something that they enjoy that the big city or nothing but a bunch of slickers, that's what we are. They enjoy something. So I sit there and I marvel. Some of them, they keep it on the drawer. Others have thrown it away. But these people open it. In other words, tell you, here's a word of comfort. Read it. Let's have our souls an open book before God to be able to read by all men. That's what counts. Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus, Search Me, O God. Then I'd like to ask Brother Craig to close us in a word of prayer. Search me, O God. Amen. Search me, O God. And know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. see there be time awakened away in me. Answer me from every sin and set me. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for calling us out, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Cleansing us, Lord. Making us ready
for service. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Pray, O Lord, that you will continue to lead and guide us, Lord, by the power of thy indwelling voice.
Glory to God.
Quicken your word to perfection. Lord, that we shall be drawn one step closer to you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Cleanse us, Lord. Yes, I said, plead the blood of Jesus Christ and walk by faith believing. You are faithful and just. Forgive us of our sins.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
The revelation of Jesus Christ.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you for that which you have done for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Once and for all time,
Lord. Yes, Lord, you have done it. Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you enabled us to praise you, Lord. We sing the praises of Zion.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, to praise you with our lips, Lord, with our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Our minds, our souls, everything that we do with us.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, oh, Lord, that we would go our way this day. Lord, to follow the lead of your Holy Spirit.
Please, Lord, that's what I want.
Until we shall meet again, Lord, in this place.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus Christ, holy
name. Amen. Remember when we leave one statement, visit me, Lord, with thy salvation, and everything will change. May be dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.